So my parents live in Cairns, which is in the electorate of Leichhardt, and they were the most funded electorate. And my sister lives in Melbourne. She's in the electorate of Maribyrnong, and they received zero funding from the grants that we
Nothing at
analyzed.
all.
Nothing at all.
And one for mum, one for dad, and one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be an Australian.
Budgets are about choices, Fran, and you show what you value through the choices you make.
Dead, buried, cremated.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
The Treasurer knows.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy. You know, a banana republic.
How good is Australia?
Just follow.
G'day, and welcome to Follow the Money, the Australia Institute's podcast demystifying the big economic issues in Australia and putting them in plain English. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Australia Institute, and today we are going to dive into the details of the billions of dollars of public money spent each year on federal grants programs, where the minister has the discretion to award funding.
The federal government has been accused of pork barrelling, pumping almost $1 billion of grants into its own seat, or ones it wants to
win. Government MPs are showing off taxpayer cash in the form of grants being dropped all over regional Australia.
Instead of following Sport Australia recommendations, the government disproportionately funneled money into marginal seats before the last election.
As 7:30 later reported, emails pointed to the involvement of the Prime Minister's office.
Scott Morrison actually found a way to rort a fund for commuter car parks.
$6.9 billion across those five funds, of which $5.7 billion went to coalition or target seats, 82%. Is that the best value for the Australian community, or is it the best value for the Liberal Party?
The Australia Institute this week released new research that digs deep into the public information that's available to complete a distributional analysis showing how much money has been spent since 2013 and where it's being spent. It is the biggest, most comprehensive analysis of federal government grants programs ever undertaken. So I'm delighted to introduce two of the co-authors of the report, Bill Brown, Senior Researcher of our Democracy and Accountability Program, and Hannah Melville-Ray, who's an Cantor Fellow, to discuss their findings. G'day, Bill and Hannah.
Good morning.
Hiya.
Bill, to kick us all off, tell me about some of the key findings from this report. What are the big takeaways?
What we found is that looking at the seven grants programs that we picked for our analysis, $3.9 billion was allocated across electorates. And of that, 71%, that's $2.8 billion, went to coalition seats. You can look at the House of Representatives today and the coalition holds 50% of seats. So right there you see the kind of skew that's occurred with these funding programs.
Mm. And Hannah, how did you pick which grants programs you were going to look at? Was there a set of criteria?
This is something that the Minister of Finance, Senator Birmingham, actually was questioning about the analysis.
President, I can confirm that Senator Gallagher is quoting from what I understand to be an Australia Institute study that has selectively chosen a number, a very small number of Commonwealth grant programs upon which to base its analysis, Mr. President. That's the figure that's where Senator Gallagher is drawing her figures from, Mr. President, an Australia Institute survey. I imagine she's quoting probably from the report published in The Guardian of the Australia Institute survey. It's quite a virtuous little cycle we've got going here that the Australia Institute does the report, The Guardian publishes it, the Labor Party asks about it, but of course it's all just selective reporting.
And to me it was super interesting that he was asking about this because in a way he has the power to actually give us a comprehensive list of grants with ministerial discretion. But we don't have that. So in absence of that, we came up with three criteria that we used to decide what grants we should look at. The first was that it has ministerial discretion. So basically, ministers have the final say of where that grant is going to be allocated.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that it's an ongoing grant or has been recently discontinued in the last 5 years because
mm-hmm.
we wanted to make sure it's still relevant.
Yep.
And the final one is that we wanted to look at grants with at least $50 million that's already been allocated to make sure that in absence of this comprehensive list, we're at least getting the biggest ones to have a good picture of where this grant money is going.
So just to be clear, what you actually looked at was seven different grants programs, and there are more that are out there, but that information isn't actually publicly available. Is that correct?
Exactly. We don't have this understanding of which grants have ministerial discretion. If the finance minister is able to provide this, I will 100% go back and add this to my analysis. I would be happy to do that. And I think the other thing is it's not easy to even find these grants programs in the data itself. The government has a kind of hub online where they put information about grants. And once we identified these seven grant programs that met our criteria, it was really difficult to just go in and search for it. So we had to actually download in troves the annual batches of all the data, because you can only have 50,000 grants per download.
Yep.
And then from there, manually kind of go in and find these grant names to find that data. So they do not make it easy for us to do this, but we persevered.
We persevered, and we've got this amazing report. So the reason we were talking about the Finance Minister, Simon Birmingham, is that this research has come up in Parliament this week, and he was a bit critical of this report. One of the other criticisms he made of it was that some of these programs are targeted at regional electorates, and therefore it is going to skew to regional geographical locations on those respects.
Regional grants programs, why it is that coalition seats have benefited overall when you take all electorates across the country more than Labor-held seats, or even why independents might have benefited more. And that, Mr. President, would be the maths of the fact that the coalition holds more regional seats than does the Labor Party.
How does that skew the numbers overall, and did this report take that into account?
Yeah, so there's no doubt that the coalition holds more regional seats than does the Labor Party, although the difference is not as extreme as you might think. I'll give the ending away. Now, we did take into account that difference. What we did was look at a classification from the Australian Bureau of Statistics called urban centres and localities. And by taking the people who are outside of those areas, we get a proxy for regional population. Looking at that, you get about 60% of the population in regional areas living in coalition seats. Those coalition seats got 79% of the grant's funding. So you can see right there, the skew cannot be explained by that extra number of coalition seats that are held. And you can see that just in our report from the population data, which is based on regional population when it comes to the regional grants. And those in coalition marginal seats got $194 per person, and those in Labor seats got $51, safe Labor seats got $51 per person. So the same skew that we see at the national level happens for these regional programs as well.
Can the minister explain why seats held by independents and that the coalition wanted to win back have received an average of $206 per person, coalition held seats have received $184 per person, and safe Labor seats have received just $39 per person? Why are some Australians worth more than others to Mr Morrison?
Minister.
Tell me about the findings for if you're not in a coalition or a Labor seat. What happens if you're in a seat that's held by an independent?
Yeah, there's striking results for those in independent and minor party seats. At the national level, it's $206 per person in grants funding. And for regional grants, it's $102 per person. At the national grants program level, that's actually more than even those in coalition marginal seats got, at $184 per person. So it looks better for those in independent and minor party seats than it does even for those in the coalition's own seats.
So, Bill, overall, looking at these programs that you looked at, It does seem heavily skewed. What were your overall conclusions about how these are run and allocated, I guess?
The numbers speak for themselves. There's a distribution of funds towards marginal seats and towards coalition seats that doesn't seem to have any other explanation than that at least some ministerial discretion is being used in order to favour the electoral targets of the government of the day. And the report has a great deal of suggestions collected from other sources, like the Auditor General, of what could be done about this. A couple that I'd say are key are better funding for the Auditor General, who doesn't have enough resources to conduct even the same number of investigations that they do now, let alone more to reflect the growing size of government spending, and greater funding for the ABC and SBS to do more investigative reporting, and, of course, a National Integrity Commission with teeth that could get to the bottom of these issues.
The Morrison government is facing calls to establish a national anti-corruption body in the
polling way... shows that 80% of Australians want a federal integrity commission, some kind of ICAC or integrity commission.
We have no mechanism to hold parliamentarians to account for any breach of trust or any potential corruption.
So I want to go back to this issue of transparency and accountability, Hannah. You have talked about the massive undertaking that it was to sift through all of this grant data that's actually not applicable and it's not easy to access. How possible would it be for any layperson who wanted to find out about grants in their electorate and how that compares? How difficult is it to find this information?
It's super difficult. For one, it's not in the electorate level. It's at the postcode level, so you'd have to figure out all the postcodes.
Which postcodes go in which electorates.
Exactly, which is what we've had to do. The other thing is a lot of the data that we think exists, some of it's just not even online. So, for example, the famous Sports Rorts program, which is the Community Sports Infrastructure Program, is its official name. We think that would meet all of our criteria, but there's no data on the online grant hub that the government has. So we couldn't even look into that. Also, for example, with data that's pre-2018, that is kind of ad hocly on the government's infrastructure website. And so for the community development grants, which is this huge $1.7 billion grant program that we looked at, which started back in 2013, we had to download that separately to then try to match it up with this new data. And then when we went back to write the report and tried to cite that data, the government had actually taken it offline. So we're now citing a archive website of the infrastructure website where this used to be. And it's just, the lack of transparency is really concerning.
Yeah, when it's public money that we're talking about. So, Bill, how does it compare to heading on over to like the ABS website or anywhere else in terms of transparency and accountability here?
It's really limited. It's limited not just in the information on individual projects, as Hannah talked about, but also trying to piece together the eligibility requirements. Exactly who was responsible when and where is really tricky to do. And in some cases, you can't get a clear answer about these kinds of results. We've tried to be transparent about our process. And for the most part, our numbers do match up with the totals that you see from the government. But the reality is that some of the data that we looked at has typos or misspellings, or it's categorized inconsistently. So I've no doubt that there's some projects that get missed purely on the grounds that they haven't been filed correctly. It's really disappointing that the government hasn't created a single source of information that people could depend on.
And is this, I guess, more of a concern because we are seeing more of these kind of grant programs developed and they're at ministerial discretion, so they're not going through these open portals, they're not accessible? Partly the problem is that we're seeing governments resort more to these types of grants?
That's right. We're seeing a great growth in the size of these programs over the last 8 or so years. And that's going to mean that more of this money is is at risk, and it's entitled to be subject to more scrutiny to see where it's going. That gets very tricky when it gets particularly lost within cabinet confidentiality and that kind of process, where getting information out via freedom of information requests or even orders for the production of documents from the Senate gets much, much harder.
So why did your government need a list of the top 20 marginals in order to allocate taxpayer money to projects in coalition seats under the Commuter Car Park Fund?
The Auditor-General has already made his ruling on this report, and ministers were authorised to make the decisions, and the minister made the decisions.
Is it true that your office saw this top marginals list?
Oh, I've already made my comment.
Prime Minister, what involvement did you have in this program?
The ministers made the decisions on these programs.
So you have no say under this program at all in where
the minister makes decisions as they're authorised to make those decisions.
So you had no conversation?
The minister makes the decisions on the projects. Are there any other questions?
Is there anything else, Hannah, about writing this report or doing the research that shocked you or stood out to you?
So my parents live in Cairns, which is in the electorate of Leichhardt, and they were the most funded electorate. And my sister lives in Melbourne. She's in the electorate of Maribyrnong, and they received zero funding from the grants that we analyzed.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. So it was so interesting for me to think, I mean, just on a personal level, of my parents in a marginal coalition electorate and then my sister in a very safe Labour seat, and just see that difference. I mean, of course, this is only one case. And I think to me, it underscores, you know, looking at the funding that Cairns got, it is important projects. It's things like a $10 million performing arts centre, which is a block away from my parents, and my dad will be performing there next weekend. You know, I think the main point for me is that we're not saying that these marginal coalition seats didn't deserve this funding. From our perspective, it's just about building transparency and making sure that we can hold the government to account, because this is public money, and so there's public interest in where it goes. And so I hope that through more of this kind of research, but also through systematic change in the way that it's reported on, scrutinized, that we're going to be in a situation where Australians aren't missing out on funding just because they might live in an opposition-held seat. Mm. And that's regardless of what government we have.
So, Hannah, in the interest of transparency, if people head on over to the Australia Institute's website, you've got a bit of a data dashboard there. What can people find there?
If you go into our report page, you'll find a breakdown of the seven different grant programs that we're looking at. It shows you the per capita amounts. It then plots the electorates, and it will tell you the top 20 most funded electorates for each of those grants. So, I mean, at the very least, it's just very interesting. And I think the beauty of data, as a total nerd that I am, it's like when you do a jigsaw puzzle and you have this chaos in the beginning, and then you kind of organize them together and it paints this picture. And that's what I think this project does, is that we're taking this crazy amount of data, organizing it, and the picture that it's painting is very stark. And I hope that people will at least take that away from it and they can make their own judgments.
Mm.
There will be 10 sitting days of the federal parliament. This is a calendar for a government that wants to hide from scrutiny. This is a calendar from a government that will do anything to avoid answering questions. And this is a calendar next year from the sort of government that has made a decision that on its watch there will never be an anti-corruption commission. Because in those 10 days, when three of them are budget week, and they're saying they're not going to introduce an anti-corruption commission this year, that means on their watch, there will never be an anti-corruption commission.
And Bill, I guess I'm seeing this in the context of the government still not introducing any legislation for a federal anti-corruption commission. It's got several bills on the books that are trying to crack down on and stifle charities' abilities to advocate. voter ID bills. I mean, there's a lot that's happening in the transparency and accountability space, but not a lot of it is geared toward making the government more transparent or accountable to the public, is it?
No, that's right. And it's a real shame to see those reform efforts stymied. I hope that having more of this information out there does increase pressure on governments and decision makers to exercise their powers in the best interests of all Australians. And in the long term, I think it's good for the government to be principled in its distribution of public money. One of the striking elements of our findings is that it's not as good to be in a safe coalition seat as it is to be in a marginal coalition seat. And ultimately, that's not the kind of message that the coalition government necessarily wants to encourage.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that'd be a good electoral message.
That's right. And similarly with the seats of independents and minor parties doing the best of all out of the national grants programs, that's going to be fodder for people running in those electorates to point to that allocation. Whereas if there was an even or fair distribution of funds, that kind of argument would have been neutered.
Mm. And presumably in an ideal situation, we'd want these kinds of grants distributed on need in the community. And that's just not what we're seeing in the data. Is that right?
We don't see that kind of pattern emerge in the data.
But maybe we would if the finance minister would just give us access to more of those grants that he
give
was talking
about. Give us the data.
Maybe it would change the picture.
I'm happy to take those details on notice so far as we can extract that information.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for. Thanks very much, Bill and Hannah. This episode was recorded on Tuesday, the 30th of November 2021, and things may have changed since recording. You can visit australiainstitute.org.au for all our latest research and content, including Bill and Hannah's report and the data dashboard that we were just talking about. And we're on Twitter at the Oz Institute with an AUS. My Twitter handle is ebony_Bennett with a double N double T. Bill Brown is at Brown90, that's Brown with an E. And Hannah Melville Ray is at Hannah Mel Ray, that's Hannah with an H, M-E-L-R-E-A. This episode was produced by Jennifer Macy, and you can find her at Jennifer Macy. Additional editing from Eliza Closer. Our theme music is by Jonathan McFeet from Pulse and Thrum, with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Stay safe out there, and thanks for listening.